If you do a quick Google search of the top hindrances in a man's life, you will find things like a life on autopilot, scared to show vulnerability, constant rejection, unreachable dreams, facing the same challenges over and over. And yet, none of these are the top three hindrances in a man becoming truly a man of God. We're ending with number three today. It's going big, going home, so get ready. That's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. It's Friday. You know the drill, right? Are you tired of me saying this? I hope not, because it's really what it's all about. You have 2 days to get as many people to church as possible. Beg, bribe, whatever you need to do. Take them out to lunch afterwards. Tell them you'll pick them up. You'll buy them an Uber, whatever it is. Get them to a church that speaks, preaches, talks about Jesus. And if you don't go to that kind of church, then find one. Hey, you can reach me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Love to hear from my listeners. Also, we're brought to you by Well Built Body, gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. WellBuiltBody.com. Rumor has it they're coming out with a new line here in about a month or two, so we'll let you know. Hey, I had a highlight yesterday. I was able to lead a 92-year-old man to Christ. He's in the hospital, and this guy, 92, he seemed like he was 32. He was spit and vinegar, man. But got an opportunity to start a conversation with him. He owns a muskie lodge, fishing lodge up in Canada. I showed him a picture of the muskie I caught this year, 54-inch. And before you know it, we were talking Jesus, and I led him to Christ, and it was awesome. Hope you get a chance to lead someone to Christ this week. That's what it's all about. So, we're finishing up today on the three hindrances that keep men from being a man of God. And these are foundational in my mind. I believe they're foundational. And we've done them in order. The very first one was going to church. The second one was spending time with godly men. And the third one today is spending time with Christ. Now, before you go, I knew it, you know, read your Bible, gotta pray, but hold on. I want to challenge you with some new thoughts today, because the one thing I do agree with what I Googled about hindrances in men's lives is this: we can fall into autopilot. And if we do that with our time with God, when we read and pray, there's a danger there. We think we are strong and tuned in simply because of the discipline of our schedule of reading and praying every day. And the truth is it goes way beyond that. I think we've actually dumbed it down, and we need to reestablish what spending time with God is really about. So these are my thoughts. I'm going to throw them at you, hopefully wake you up a little, maybe, you know, poke you a little. But the point is not just to say you read and pray, right? You've all been in that group where, like, man, I was reading and praying yesterday. Hey, did you read and pray yesterday or this week? And guys are like, oh, yeah, well, I do, and today I was busy, And you know, what they're really not saying is, yeah, I did it once this year. Okay, so we've been there. But the truth is, you have to get beyond just reading and praying to say that you're a good Christian because you read and pray. It is fundamental, but you must realize it is, you read and pray so that you can begin to start to live in the realm of faith. And you go, yeah, I know, we got to have faith. No. You need to read and pray because that's what feeds you, if you understand this. That's what gives you the fodder, the energy to start to live in the invisible. That's what faith is. You live in the invisible. You're living beyond your senses. You're living beyond what others think is reasonable or possible. Or, you know, and they'll many times tell you, well, that's foolish. You're living beyond what they see. In fact, what it is you're living the gospels out, but in your world today. That's why you read and pray. How can I live the life that Jesus lived in today's world where I work, where I hang out, where I go to church, where I have my hobbies, where I take my family? How can I do that? So my reading and praying is really that door that I open to get to that point, to learn how to live my life in the invisible realm, to do and to say and to go and to live in an area where 99.99% of Christians don't even go. They don't even know it exists. Oh, they talk faith and they do something in faith and they gave this in faith and they live in faith and they prayed in faith. But you go beyond that. Your reading and praying is so that you see things that people just don't see because you're living in the invisible. So let's make this really practical. When you're reading your Bible, you need to ask yourself three questions every time you're reading. Number one, what is going on in where I'm reading? Is it the Old Testament, the New Testament? Is it history? Is it prophecy? Is it wisdom? What is it? What's going on? And once you understand what's going on, then how do I simplify this into an applicable step? Look, you can be reading out of the book of Ezra, and it can be talking about the law and about the prophets. And unless you understand that you're thinking at that point in time, what is going on and how do I turn this into some application? What would be a way I could apply this? And then the third question you ask is, now where in my life and how soon can I live this out? Meaning, how can I live this out today in my life? Whether you're reading the Psalms, whether you're reading the Gospels, whether you're reading Revelation, whether you're reading Genesis, what is this? What's going on? If I had to write three sentences, what's going on? What's the application? And how can I use this today to live in the invisible? Number two, when you pray, ask these three questions. What is the nuance that I feel in the Spirit? Meaning, what do I feel like God is saying to me? It might be, it's not real clear, but I feel it. Write it down. Number two, what is an area I need more obedience in? A key question when you're praying. Don't spend all your time praying for things or answers. Pray, God, show me an area I need obedience. And number three, what do you want me to do today? Where do I need to be obedient to you today, God? You will be surprised when you change your prayer time into an ask and beg and whine and a worry fest into a, what am I feeling in the Spirit? What's an area I need more obedience in? And how can I do that today? You'll be surprised at how your faith journey and how quickly you will walk in the invisible, because that's ultimately what it's about. Many people are trying to live out the gospel and they can't because they're not walking in faith in the invisible. Garth Heckman, David Alliance, keep slaying giants.